and then Luke 21. And then John 12. Then Acts 15. Then Romans 24. No. There's no Romans 24. Okay. Mark 7. Hank, would you do me a favor? Go out in that back office and get a pair of glasses. I forgot them. Okay. Let's see here. Joe, stand up and read Mark 7, verse 5. 7, 5 to 9. Go ahead.
Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well, Isaiah prophesies of hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How be it in vain that they worship me, teaching for doctrine
and commandments
of men? For laying aside the commandments of God, you know the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. But he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.
Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to take advantage of this time of year to draw closer to thee. People get sidetracked and commercialism, and I just pray you'd help us to draw closer to thee and possibly work close with thee in order to give you a gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what Isaiah said in verse, it's recorded in verse 6, what Jesus said. Is that not evident this time of year, probably more than any time of year? Where people, Christian Americans, Jesus is on their lips, but this is far from it. So that's, you know, that's the thing about this time of year. Okay, also Luke 21. Some the folks have attended her for quite a while know that Jan and I aren't real Christmas fans. We've studied it out. It does have pagan origin. But we also believe you as an individual, you choose as you want to do in your own household. Okay, we don't smugly say, well, I can't believe you got a Baal bush. Okay, it's just your choice. Okay, it's your choice in this. But one thing that kind of bugs me about it, either way you want to go with it, is can you imagine having a birthday party and all these gifts are brought in to the birthday party and everybody exchanges gifts but they don't give anything to the person whose birthday it is? And that's almost what tomorrow's all about. Okay, we know that the Lord wasn't born this time of year. I mean, that's pretty easy to figure that out. If you would like a day for his birth, you pick the Feast of Tabernacles. That would be the most likely candidate. Okay, but still, we want to still take advantage of a situation. You use these times to draw closer to the Lord. If you would, in Luke 21... I find this very interesting in that here's a widow woman, and Jesus is watching. The people throw money into the treasury. Now, what they're doing is, okay, we take up an offering. Some folks, you know, think that's, you know, heathen, all that stuff. Some churches, you know, are so spiritual, they put a box in the back, and everybody puts their offering in there. We got a box back there. So you can go either way. Or you can just put it in my hands. And so, either way. But in Luke 21, the Lord was observing as people walked by the Jewish temple. And in verse 1, he says, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, the you he's talking to the apostles, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, another word for poverty, of her penury hath cast in all that she had. So the basic idea I want to get across here is the Lord Jesus honored this lady for her gift, and then he also looked at how much the sacrifice was. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the gift. Now, if you go to the average evangelical or especially Baptist church, there's two ideas that the preacher will say over and over and over, and sometimes weekly, is tithes and offerings and a church attendance. Hebrews 10:25, even though that's not written to Christians, Hebrews 10:25. Why does he do that? Well, truth be told, it's because he gets a personal benefit out of it. Truth be told. Okay? And, I don't say much about that stuff except when I come across verse by verse. And I'm just a firm believer in living by faith that if God likes what's going on, he's going to take care of it. Okay? And, I mean, it's just amazing. If you choose and you have the liberty to get involved with the Christmas spirit, or you have the liberty of not getting involved. Okay, that's a choice you make, what you do in your family. But here's one thing I would like to just throw out an idea. How about let's ask the Lord if we can give a gift to him? Okay, and so here's some ways we can do that. Okay, the Lord Jesus honored that great sacrificial gift of the widow. And if you would go to John 12, the amazing thing about the Lord God is he is going to honor your gifts that you give to him. He is going to honor. Now, the one with the widow, it was kind of in a private mode where he was honoring this widow to the apostles or the ones standing there with him. In John 12, the Father is going to honor in a public mode. Okay, for the born-again believer would be at the judgment seat. But in John 12:23, Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, Jesus, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Isn't that something to think about? Okay, and so the Lord is watching what's going on. He's watching what we do. But how about a gift, a specific gift we can give the Lord Jesus? Okay, as far as gifts go, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they play significant roles in giving. And God the Father freely gives life to all. God the Son freely gives eternal life to all, and God the Spirit freely gives abundant life to all. Now, that's overly simplistic, but and I know they're all three involved, but still, if we lay it out in that form, but what is a gift? We have an askewed idea of a gift, and in the Bible will use a pretty broad definition for a gift, and you look at the context, and in Proverbs it talks about hating gifts. And in that context, it would be a bribe. Okay, where you give a gift to a judge, that's a bribe. That's not a gift. That's got strings attached. Sometimes, some people, when they give a gift, if you hold it up in the air, you'll see some strings dangling down. Because it's not a gift. That's a tool to manipulate. And how you know if it's not a gift? Okay, if somebody offers you, let's say, they offer you a Pepsi. How evil is that? Evil, evil. Okay, they offer you a Pepsi, and you pop the thing, and then you pour it on the ground. Do you think they're going to get mad? If it's a gift, If it was a gift, you know, a Coke would probably be better because you could pour that on your battery post and it eats off the acid. Okay, but, okay, what is a gift? Okay, a pure gift has no strings attached. Let's look at salvation in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Now, the sentence runs from verse 12 to 19. At 13 and 18, he throws in a very large additional thought about in the parentheses. But inside there, notice that the Lord is a little redundant. And if he wants to be redundant, that's his choice. And you'll notice three times, he says in verse 15, and not as the offense, so also is the free gift. That's sort of kind of redundant. It's like saying wet water or hot fire. Okay, and then he says free gift again in verse 16 toward the bottom of the verse, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. He says it again the third time in 18, okay, where right about in the middle of verse, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. That's really specializing on the idea. And that's a pure gift. What is a pure gift? A true and absolute gift. A gift that is used to manipulate is not a gift. Often a narcissist type will do that where somebody with money will fund them money and they expect behavior in return. That's not a gift. Okay? A gift may be used against the giver. Boy, that hurts. Okay, a gift may be rejected. If you have to give somebody and they've rejected your gift, okay, a gift may be rejected. A gift may be misused, not used for its intended purpose. And if you've ever experienced that, which I'm sure all of us have sometime where along the line, you feel like, wow, what's the purpose of the gift? But you know who's experienced that more than all of us? God the Father gives life freely. The majority misuse the gift. God the Son gives eternal life freely. The majority reject the gift. The majority of people reject it. Okay? And God the Spirit wants to give the born-again believer an abundant life, but sadly the majority of believers don't even access that at all. Okay? And so some ideas I want to give you this morning. It's a very simple idea, just nothing profound about this is, how about if you or your family, you as an individual, or maybe you as a family, ask the Lord, what can I give you? What can I give you personally, directly? This time of year, people are all, they're sidetracked, all this stuff. And I'm not discounting that. And it's fun to watch the kids have a good time. I mean, that's a joy to watch the kids where they usually throw the toy away and play with the box. That's kind of the fun part of it. And I'm not discounting, I don't want to, poo-poo all that stuff, but God the Father will honor all gifts we give to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no sacrifice too great for the Son. None whatsoever. And, sometimes the sacrifice is sadness. Where we have a sadness because someone's rejected our gift. Someone's misused our gift. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of loneliness. If you would, look in Luke chapter 6. This time of year, on the outside, appears to be joyous, but this time of year, a lot of people have hidden hurts. In Luke chapter 6, verse 22, this is akin to the Sermon on the Mount, but it's not the Sermon on the Mount. It has some similarities to it. And Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast your name as evil." Now, of course, for the right reason. He puts the P.S. there, for the right reason, for the Son of Man's sake. Or for a Bible's sake, you know, where the Baptist gang or some Christian gang, you know, they cast your name out. So what's the right response? Verse 23, rejoice. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Boy, if you did that in the presence of the ones that shunned you, they will really think, man, that guy's lost it. But it says, "For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." That sadness, that loneliness, what we can do is we can go to the Lord Jesus, and guess what he's going to tell you? He's going to say, "I understand. Been there, done that." So maybe we can give a gift back to the Lord. Okay, God the Son freely gives eternal life. But you know, one of the first gifts a person can give back to the Lord, you'll find it in 1 Timothy 1. The first gift, great gift you can give back to the Lord is accept his offer. That's an honor to Jesus Christ to accept his offer. Sure, we get a benefit out of that. But it's an honor to him. It's a great honor to the Lord Jesus to accept that free gift of grace that he's offering. A great slap in the face is to think that you have to splash some H2O on it. Isn't that what the majority of churches do? Majority of churches saying what you did at Calvary is not good enough, but I have two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen that might help improve, this salvation plan that you have. Or I might throw in some sacraments, or I might throw in, I'll endure to the end. And it's like, the Lord's like saying, why don't you just take a gun and shoot me? I mean, what I've done for you, isn't that good enough? 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, the Lord, one of the first gifts a person can give the Lord to honor him is to accept this offer. And I can fully understand why the Lord will send somebody to hell who rejects that or adds their self-righteous too. I can fully understand that. Totally understand that. Because that is a slap in his face. And so we can give to the Lord. One can seek to give back out of gratitude to the Lord. You see, and so we consider these ideas. A lot of times people tend to think, okay, maybe in a most everybody tends to think that all families are like your family. That's what most people think. Maybe it's dysfunctional. Maybe it's this. Maybe it was a secure home. Most people think that's what everybody's like. When I was a teenager, we would go up to Wisconsin. Usually in August, we would be either tearing a building down, building a grain bin, we would usually take a week or two and go up to Wisconsin. There's a private place up there where this family owned this lake and they had a bunch of little cottages, and so we gave that a shot one year, and we met two families out of Milwaukee. Okay, and these were not saved people. Okay, one was named Pajczaki. Wouldn't that a good name? Polish name, Pajczaki. And the others are Rumoffs, and they were cousins, so they would take their trip together, and then we came and we developed this friendship. So when we would get ready to leave, we'd ask them, "When are you coming back next year?" And we would schedule the same time. So we must have saw that family 4 or 5 years in a row. Okay, but the one family, the dad was out of the picture. He left the family. Mama had the 4 kids. Okay, and then one of them was named Jimmy. He was a younger one. And then he would tell me, "Is your dad like that all the time?" I said, "Like what?" He said, "You know." I said, "Like what?" He said, he's your friend, he's kind, he's fun to be around. Is he like that all the time? Because see, all he knew is his dad left him. He was abandoned. He thought that's how everybody lived. And then he sees my dad, and he's at, and I'm like a kid, you know, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. It was just normal for me. It wasn't normal for him. And one time, it was on a Friday, and we usually head home on a Saturday. On a Friday, Dad was out sailing because they had little boats on the lake, and so we'd learn how to sail. And Jimmy swam out there. Now, Jimmy was, at that time, seventh grade. He was about 6 foot tall. I was, you know, ninth grade, 5 foot two. And so he swam out to the boat, and he said to Dad, I'm going to dunk you. And Dad just laughed. He said, if you do, I'm going to dunk you. And this was Friday night, so his mom said, that's his last clean clothes he's got this week. So, of course, when he said that, he couldn't resist. He jumps on the boat. He pulls it over to the side. Dad's swimming. He's swimming. He's laughing. Dad's laughing. Dad said, I'm going to get you. And so that was like in the afternoon on a Friday. So about 6 o'clock that night, Jimmy happened to be around the little beach area, and Dad got him. And you know, he enjoyed every bit of that. That kid never experienced that in his life. I bet you he's never forgotten that day. Dad threw him in. Mom's yelling, that's his last clothes. Threw him in, laughing, enjoying. But you see, not every family is like that. People tend to think that. Okay, but still the idea is in this relationship, that was new to him. It wasn't new to me. I didn't know any different. What a joy, what a blessing to have something like that. Okay, but as far as when we give into the Son, how about this? We consider the Lord Jesus, okay? Ask the Lord, is there something, some way I can give to you directly? Now, we know the usual approach, you know, when you give an offering to the church or give to the Lord. Okay, that's one thing. How about something more direct to the Lord? Can we do something like that? If you would, try Matthew 25. Now, when we experience, okay, when you're out passing out gospel tracts, I remember one time I was in Colorado Springs knocking all these doors, you know, and Colorado Springs, you're in Mormon country. And I got so sick and tired of hearing, well, I go to LDS. I go to LDS. And so after hearing that about 20 times, I said, did you say LSD? And they didn't really appreciate my humor or lack thereof. And they're, no, I said LDS. I said, oh, okay. And one door, you know, I'm knocking and this lady comes out like this. She said, I don't want anything. So I said, I'm giving money away. And she slammed the door in my face. No, I thought, try a different technique, different method, different places. And so the idea is, when you're offering a gospel tract or the gospel, what are you presenting to somebody? A free mansion in heaven. But most won't take it. They got all these hindrances. Okay, what if the Lord, and this is something you could do as a family, okay, because you know, there's a limit to giving. Give, 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 give. Mike Roberts is a missionary in Vietnam. Very, very poor culture. Okay, Americans give them Bibles. He doesn't give these Bibles to the Vietnamese. Because to give to them freely is an insult for their culture. In their mind, they have to pay something for it. He doesn't charge them the full price, but they have to pay something. When a person pays something, they tend to appreciate it more. Okay, was it the Bill Clinton administration that changed the subsidies to entitlements? Why has Americans become the way they have become? Give, 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 give. There's times a person's got to work for it. Okay, and then a person said, well, I worked for all this stuff. No, you might have worked, but who gave you the health? God is the one that gives you the health. And it's good that you work for it. Okay, but we can give, we can give, we can give, and then a person gets to the point where they're expecting it. That's what always kind of annoyed me about Christmas, is the expectation, you know? And, you know, that's all. But unless you had a mom like mine who's very practical, okay, a mom like mine, very practical, so toys, you know, it was clothes. What 12-year-old kid wants clothes? I want this toy. Okay, or something like, so clothes, you know, that mom is very, very practical about those things. Still is to this day. You can ask my brother about that. Very practical. Okay, and but still the idea is we get used to giving and getting, getting, getting. How about giving to the Lord? Matthew 25, 40. How can we do that? How can we do that? Okay, this is within the setting, the judgment of the nations. The king answered, the king shall answer, saying to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Okay, so here's a suggestion. Ask the Lord to guide you to a brother or sister in Christ who is in need and try to do something for them. You can do it publicly. You can do it privately. But there's a Jesus Christ in heaven will interpret that you've given to him. It's a direct gift to him when you've given to somebody else. A missionary. Now, I tell you, in this day and age, a missionary or a ministry, you got to do a little research to make sure it's a missionary or a ministry that you want to give to, because in the ministry, in this day and age of Laodicea, there's a lot of where a person might be faithful to the ministry, but they're not faithful to their family. And I don't want to enable someone who's putting on a show where they got this going on here looking good, but in that family, the people are like, I want out of this mess. And so you got to kind of do a little research to be more efficient in maybe finding the right person in this matter. Or like we did for Dad's funeral, instead of having gifts go to flowers, we know what flowers happens after a funeral with the flowers. Okay, or even like the funeral meal, we kind of joke around our house when Lindsay comes over, we can give her some of the funeral food because some of that the leftovers we take home, so they get funeral food, and so all that stuff. But instead of giving flowers, we put on the thing about a memorial of buying Bibles. So we're giving a Bible out, and I've sent one to India, one to Philippines. California. I'm keeping tabs so that we get all this covered. And what are we doing? We're giving Jesus Christ out in a way. We're giving Jesus Christ out in a book. A gift. Give to the Lord Jesus. Seek out and be very selective in this gift so to be eternally blessed. A Bible believer that's faithful to the task and faithful to his family. Now, we don't want to do just a, as far as an organization that is physical only, okay? Today, you hear the bells tingling in front of the stores, you got, Salvation Army. That used to be Salvation Army. Today, it's nothing but junk. And passing out nothing but something physical is like bailing out a boat and never plugging the hole. You're never going to get done. You have some sort of a spiritual application of this, where Salvation Army originally was William Booth and a bunch of people publicly declaring the gospel. And then they would throw the good works on top of the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The modern stuff today is the good works is first, and they don't even tell the light. He didn't tell them about the light. And what's that doing? That's just making somebody's life more convenient and still heading to hell. And so there's a problem with that. So the idea is, maybe as a family, maybe as an individual, okay, if somebody's rejected your gift, they've rejected and are misusing your gift, get with the Lord and ask Him about that, and He'll tell you, join the club. Join the club. Because He experiences that more than all of us. And then we want to try to give something to the Lord. Ask Him, Lord, would you please direct me? What could I do for somebody? Could I send a Bible overseas? Can I do this? Can I get something for somebody in need? Somebody is in deep need. I can do something to help them out. And so the Lord said, yeah, that'd be nice. I'd appreciate that. And then if you would, one more place, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Like I said, this time of year has an appearance of joyfulness, but there are a lot of people hurting this time of year. A lot of people hurting. So that's when we can get to know the Lord better. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, he says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which also ye suffer. Or whether we be confronted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so are ye. So shall ye be also of the consolation. I said that was one more. One more after this one. If you would, look in Philippians. Often your friendship that you have with another is something that you have in agreement or something you've experienced together. Okay, Philippians 3:10. Okay, that I may know Him. Okay, the Him is obviously the Lord Jesus. Shouldn't we want to know Him more? Okay, then maybe we have something in like common with Him. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship. Okay, how are we going to fellowship? Fellowship of His sufferings. There we go, like character. Being made conformable unto His death. The Lord's loneliness at Calvary when all His buddies left Him. The Lord's sadness when His gift is rejected by the majority. And we can fellowship with His suffering, and the Lord gives us comfort. And then we take that comfort and say, Lord, I want to express some gratitude to You. So I want to do something for You. Is there somebody else that You want me to look at to do something for? Lord, I'd like to do that. Would You point it out to me? And see what He does. And you know what? There's going to be a joy that you're going to experience in giving. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us to reach out and try to seek to give something to You. Yes, we can enjoy the fun times of this time of year and the family reunion. Yes, we're not throwing cold water on that at all. But we can possibly make it a little bit better by giving You a gift. Can we give You a gift, Lord? I pray You would guide each and every one of us so we might be able to give You a gift. And I pray that You'd help us to understand and be patient with people that possibly reject our gifts and possibly separate from us, that we can be patient with them as You are patient with us. Thank you for that, Lord. I just pray you'd help us be able to give something to you this time of year. In Jesus' name, amen.